And tonight, though, I want to give you one passage this evening, and then we're going to hear from the body who has been at large. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, there's a great verse. Wonderful verse. In Luke 19, the scripture says in verse 12, "And a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And so he called 10 of his servants and delivered to them 10 minas and said to them, 'Do business till I come.' But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, 'We will not have this man to reign over us.' And so it was when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, 'Master, your mina has earned 10 minas.' And he said to him, 'Well done, good servant, because you were faithful in very little, I have given you authority over 10 cities.' And the second came, saying, 'Master, your mina has earned 5 minas.' Likewise, he said to him, 'You also be over 5 cities.' And another came, saying, 'Master, here is your mina, which I have put away in a handkerchief. For I feared you, because you are an austere man. You collect where you do not deposit, and you reap where you do not sow.' And he said to him, 'Out of your own mouth you will be judged. You wicked servant, you knew that I was an austere man, and collecting what I did not deposit, or reaping where I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming it might have collected with some interest?' And he said to those who stood by, 'Take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10 minas.' But they said to him, 'Master, he has 10 minas. For I say to you that to everyone who has, it will be given. And from him who does not have, what even he does have shall be taken away from him.' And then listen to verse 27. 'But bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them and slay them before me.'" Now, this is a parable. Jesus is not talking about human sacrifice here. Jesus is talking about investing our lives into the lives of others, into the lives of the kingdom. And this last week and a half, we've had the opportunity to do that. And many of you have supported people in going. And we're very, very blessed to be able to say that. And as we were worshiping tonight, calculating it in my head, we've been doing outreaches in foreign lands since the late fall of 92 to now. And if you collect those trips together, the amount of people who have gone over to a foreign outreach, we're around 600 people in just five and a half years period of time. That's exciting stuff. And that's why so many of you are so excited. And tonight you're going to hear the reason why. We're so excited about missions. And I have to confess, this church did not start out as some missions church. You may be sitting here tonight saying, "Oh, brother, I'm not into missions." Well, you know what? We need to be in them, either in going or supporting people at going. The Christian has got to be in one place or the other. And some of you have been in both places, and that's really a great privilege. But tonight we're going to hear from some people that have experienced this most recent trip. And if you guys would come on up, and here's the deal. You guys know the deal, right? Do you know the deal? When you see that light back there flashing, if you get the third flash, this floor opens up. And you go down. No, listen, we want to make it through all the people, and we want to hear from everybody. So you got about 3 minutes. We'll get the shortest one out of the way first. Judy, will you come on up?
He's joking. I've never known to be short when I get to talk. It's hard to know what to share because it was either discipleship or outreach. And so I chose an incident that really was the best of both. The last day that I was there, I sat down next to a young Russian man that I had just met in the church, and he had been over in the States other times when I was there. And so I sat down, and we started talking and getting to know each other just a little bit before, really, I had to go home back to the States. And he began to share his heart about American Christians having been here and the frustration and some legitimate concerns and valid things that he had to say. And his statement to me, and he had a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, was, well, what are you going to do about it? And I was kind of taken aback, and I began to share with him from my heart, because this was an issue that I had been struggling with myself. And I began to share with him what the scriptures say concerning this issue, and how I was able to relate to it in a personal way, and what I was doing and my family is doing concerning this issue. And back and forth and back and forth we went. And it was such a good time of in reach, of one heart blessing another, his blessing mine, and I hope mine in blessing him in return. We had such a good time, and I looked over, and there was a young man who I had spoke with earlier in the afternoon, and he had returned to the park, and I said, will you interpret for me to the Russian? So he went over, and we began to share once again the Lord with this young man, and really began to plead with him. He was so close to accepting Christ as the Savior. And again, back and forth and back and forth, and just pleading with him to receive Christ. Well, he did not receive Christ, but we went over a lot of doctrinal issues, and he was so close. And so close, in fact, that when this Russian interpreter and I got up and walked away and began to walk to where we had been seated before, he grabbed me by the hand and he said, I believe this man is so close to accepting Christ. Let's pray now. And so we stopped right there in the middle of everything and prayed for this man earnestly. And, you know, I have to say that on the trips that I've been on, you know, in-reach, outreach, they're all good. But this just so personified both of them. And it just so touched my heart. I don't think ministry gets any better than this. And it's just so wonderful. And I would encourage any one of you, if you're really desiring to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and to share it with others, Russia's the place for you, or really any other mission opportunity. So, thanks.
Wow. Where do I start? This was my second trip to St. Petersburg. I went this same time last year. And if you had told me that I would be involved in overseas missions, I would not have believed that. Since that time, lots of different things have happened to me in my life. Dave can probably tell you how close I came this time to not going. Just prior to, just like last year, we were under a spiritual attack. And my wife had a cast on her leg the weekend before, which means she couldn't drive for the next 2 weeks. So I was very torn. But then Jack's words kind of rang true, and I remembered them from last year, which were, trust God and get on the plane. And that's what I did. And faithful he was. He took care of business at home. We were just greatly blessed. Everything that I had on my prayer request from the time before we left, all of that got taken care of, and we were just truly blessed by that. The Russian people, even though they're no longer under communist rule, are still very much under communist influence, because that's all they've ever known. And what they're very good at is telling you what they've been taught. They have very good educational institutions over there. But what they have a hard time doing is telling you what they believe, because they've never had occasion to ask themselves. So this is where we were really able to make an impact and ask them, you know, from their heart, you know, what their spiritual condition was. We planted a lot of seeds. And we had a shortage of translators this time. So a lot of the sharing that I did was in English with other Russians that spoke English. Some of them speak English very well. And so that was a blessing as well. I was just amazed at how the Lord put into place various aspects of the trip. I kind of served as team physician, generator technician, music guy, lots of different things. And one day in particular, we needed the generators to run the sound system, and one of them was down because they hadn't been run in a year. And so I'm there taking this generator apart, and Mike from Britain, we were trying to figure out what we were going to do because it was obviously a clogged carburetor. We prayed about it briefly, and at the same time our heads faced one another, and it dawned on us, the balloon pump. One of the guys, Jay, who was pumping up balloons for the kids, had a balloon pump. We used that to flush out the carburetor. We put it back together and fired it up, and we had our sound system for the rest of the afternoon. That's just one example, but every time we turned around, things like that were happening. And we were doubly blessed with traveling mercies. We didn't have any illnesses or major injuries. We were blessed by that. And I'm getting my signal. One last thing. I'll never forget. The sound of the song, Our God is an Awesome God, in simultaneous English and in Russian. But in order to hear it, you'll have to go with me next year.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I need to relay a message from the church in St. Petersburg to all of you here. And to all of those that may not be here, is a big hello, God bless you, and thank you for sending teams over to see us. You wouldn't believe when we come in, and we come into the airport, there's Russians' faces pressed against glass, and they're like this, looking to try to see who's here from America. And it doesn't matter if the people have been there yet, if it's their first time, second time, or whatever. They want to see the Americans because they're excited to see the Americans. And then on the last day, their faces and hands are pressed on the glass, waving goodbye with tears and all this. And so Jack said that in the past years, there's been some 600 people go on missions trips. And the ones I've been privileged to be able to go on, I can see several faces in this room right now tonight that have had a chance to go. And it's an exciting, exciting experience to go on. It's kind of like a retreat, you know, a weekend retreat. Friday night's the cleansing where we cry and we ask God to forgive us for our sins and work in our lives for the weekend. And then Saturday is where the Holy Spirit really gets rolling and the ball gets rolling and you want to just serve the Lord with everything you have. Well, imagine 2 weeks of that Saturday and Saturday night. It's that intense. You can go on a missions trip and you can actually live the scriptures. There's several scriptures that we just say off the top of our heads, but you actually live them. The obvious one is go into the world and preach to every creature. Go make disciples. We are ambassadors of Christ. That particular scripture takes on a different viewpoint when you're off in another country and people are looking at you. And they know you're a Christian, and they want to see what kind of a Christian you are. On return trips, scriptures say, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit the brethren in every city to see how they're doing. While we're sharing the gospel, Jesus said, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me. Of course, the parable of the sower, you get to see that firsthand. The sower goes to sow the seed, and the seed falls on the wayside, on the rock, on the thorns, and on the fertile ground. You get to see that. One sows and one reaps. One sows, one waters, and one reaps. But God brings the increase. There's more and more and more I could go, and I think I will. Put on the whole armor of God. We just went through a series of that. Everyone here should be familiar with the whole armor of God. And then there's Ephesians 3:6 that says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. The gospel goes out, It can go out here at home. It can go out through many ministries right here at home. You can be a missionary here in our own hometown. And our church provides ample opportunity for that. Overseas ministries are just an exciting thing to do. If you want to supercharge your faith, you'll learn one thing, is that God is in control. We are not in control when we're over there. We found that out many, many times. And if you try to be like me and take the universe away from the Lord for maybe a second, and he lets it go like that, you'll learn that no matter what we do, no matter what we say, God is in control. And I like this scripture. Pastor Jack loves this scripture. It's Daniel 11:32. The last part of it says, "But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits." We just carried out some very, very great exploits in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in the last week and a half. And so there's opportunity coming up for London and Germany and who knows where next year. So be praying about it. You can be involved either going, giving to go, or praying for those who are there. And God will bless any end that you're involved in with the missions. Thank you.
Well, I didn't even know why I signed up to go on this trip. I just kind of did. And I've been a couple of times before, and my heart wanted to go back, but I knew that the plan was for it to be an inReach, which really scares me, because to put me in front of somebody and say, okay, talk to them, it was overwhelming to me. And so when I found out I was able to go on the trip, I just kept on thinking, Lord, you better equip me, because I don't know how to do this. And they gave us this big packet of paper saying what you should be studying so that you'd be equipped to, you know, give these people something worthwhile. And I looked at this and I just went, God, what do you want me to do? And he just said, just keep in what you're doing in the summer, what I told you to do. And what God had been preparing me all summer was learning his grace, learning who he is, learning who the Holy Spirit is, trusting the Holy Spirit. And it was neat, because when we got there, it turned out that we got to do outreach, which is my heart's desire and passion, and I love doing that. And that was just really cool. So it was neat to trust the Holy Spirit that even though Jack was praying on who was supposed to be in the team and Dave, and they were putting together a team to do a certain job, God had a completely different job in mind, and he equipped each one of us according to his will and not according to man's. And I thought that was one of the coolest things, was seeing how the Holy Spirit just trashed everything we planned and just, it was cool. And pulled out of his hat, I think, the finest team I've ever been with. Maybe because it was a small team and we got to know each other personally, it was awesome. And Jack one day, I don't remember when he did, but he had quoted a verse out of Acts, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. And it was Acts 1:8, and it says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me." And it was such a blessing, because I had just had a real frustrating day of feeling like I was useless on the streets. I don't even think I shared with anyone that day. And I came back to my room, and I was a grump. And the next day, the Lord just opened up the floodgates, and I was able to share and talk to people, and it was so cool. And it just comes back. It wasn't anything of us. It's totally the Holy Spirit. And when I was thinking about how to share with you some of the excitement of being out on the streets, I'm sure it'll pale in comparison, but one of the neatest things for me was I was working with this translator across the park, and we turned around, and this lady caught my eye, and we said, "Let's go talk to this gal." And she just looked so sad, and I said, "She looks like the saddest person I've ever seen. Let's go talk to her." And so we started talking to her and sharing with her, and you could just tell when someone's just soaking it all in, and it was so cool. And we were just getting to the portion where I was going to ask her, "Do you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior?" And her son came, and he was a grown son, but obviously living with her, and he came and plopped himself right down next to her. And in my heart, I went, "Oh, not now." And I thought, he is going to say, "You weep, get away from my mother." And it was kind of a very half-quick prayer, and I said, "Lord, get rid of this guy." Someone else that God had put with our team, we came with a group of 15, but we ended up with about 20 because God had planned for people from Seattle and people from Scotland and South Carolina. These people just started showing up and adding to our team. And this one guy, Dennis, was from Seattle. And at that moment, he came and sat right down next to the son and started witnessing to him. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. So he was taken care of. He wasn't going to be a distraction. We asked the lady. She totally accepted the Lord. She was so excited. And it was so neat. And she happened to be going, she and her son were going on a trip the very next day. They had just come to the park. I don't know why they're going out of the country the next morning, why they were sitting at a park listening to a concert. I know that's not what I was doing the day before I left out of country. But God had a plan for them. Oh, Ron, not yet. Anyhow, so it was just neat because we asked her, we said, is there any question that we can answer for you before you go away? And she just started crying and she said, I have had 5 questions on my heart my whole life and you answered every single one of them. And it was so neat because it wasn't me, it wasn't my translator, it was the Holy Spirit. And he knew what she needed that day. And the biggest blessing, her son received the Lord right next to her. So the two of them had the same spiritual birthday. So, it is cool. My encouragement to you guys, there's sharing your faith and the call ministry. If you haven't taken those courses yet, don't delay. It will change your life. It's awesome. Thanks. Amen.
I guess I didn't even think I was going to go on this trip. I signed up for the Russia trip, and shortly after that, Jack announced that it was going to be a discipleship mission. Only serious disciples would be going. So I crossed my name off the list. And God picked me off of a list that I was crossed off of. It was God had a lot of work to do there. He brought people from all over the world to cross my path, and these people were just coming to the Lord right and left. It was amazing. One incident, I was out with Kathy Jo sharing, and we came upon his father and his son, and the father was really argumentative, and he didn't believe in the Bible. But the son was open, and I'm going, Kathy was sharing with him, and I just said, Kathy, we have to separate these two. She said, go get another translator. And so I went across the park and got another translator and brought him back, and I said, you want the father or the son? Of course, she picked the son, and I sat there with the father, and boy, he was his argument, and he didn't believe in God or anything, but God held him right there and listened to the whole gospel. It was while Kathy Jo took the son aside and brought him to the Lord. It was awesome. Dan and I we took off to make a little shopping trip to get some Matushka dolls, and we separated, and we said, we'll meet right back here afterwards. So I was...
He's laughing because shopping's not allowed during God's hours.
We're on God's time. So I went around, and I came back down to the middle. I was looking for Dan, and this merchant came up to me, and he's trying to cut this deal. And and I just looked him right in the eyes. I said, I'm going to share with you about eternal life. And his eyes glazed over, and he said, what? I said, eternal life. He said, what's that? And, it's about heaven. I'm going to share with you about heaven. And I asked him the two diagnostic questions, and he was open to hear. We got to receive, and he just couldn't get the receive part, receive Jesus Christ. And so I went around with him, several different ways and several different perceptions on that, and he finally came around and said yes, he wanted to pray. And Dan walks up by this time, and I'm praying with this guy, and Dan has just got this big, giant smile on his face. He was completely blown away. I was sharing with bringing this merchant to the Lord. One of the really neat things about going to Russia, and is hearing Jack's message there. Jack and the translator, Daniel. Jack says the message, and Daniel translates it into Russian. And Jack will say, you know, the whole world's full of cotton-picking sinners like Daniel here. And then Daniel would just translate that straight into Russian in a heartbeat, and this world is full of cotton-picking sinners like Jack here. They were quick on their feet, and it was really a, really a blessing. So if you guys want to see some miracles happen, a lot of them every single day, one right after the other, sign up for a mission trip.
Well, this is my third trip, and it was, for me, I had some of the best days of sharing that I've ever had. And that's what the Lord called me to do, is to share. That's kind of what I've been doing the last 3 or 4 years. But in this trip also, I had the opportunity and the privilege and the blessing of discipling a little bit in the area of evangelism. And my two people that I mostly discipled was Bobby and Kathy Jo. And the Lord just put Kathy Jo and I together. And she was learning. I was teaching her how to share. So we would go around together, and I would say, okay, watch this, you know, blah, blah. And so pretty soon I would say, okay, you start, and she would start. Well, we hit this guy that, okay, you start, she started. And this guy was kind of a tough cookie, so she said, well, you know, she gave it over to me. And I shared with this guy for, I would say, at least 45 minutes. He had some tough questions, like, I don't think God can forgive me because, see, I was in the army, and I killed a mother and her child. And I see their picture every day. And I said, well, if Jesus can't forgive you, he can't forgive anybody. He can forgive you. And so we ministered to him. And I was just focused on this guy. And he came to know the Lord. And it was really awesome. And I, at the time, I was thinking, oh, man, you know, I wanted to give Kathy Jo an opportunity to share. And she's going to be bored out of her, you know, just going to be bored. And so I turned to Kathy Jo, and she had tears running down her face. And she was so blessed. And she said, this is the ultimate. And I said, that's right. This is the ultimate. This is the best. This is it. There is nothing better than leading someone to Christ. And at about that time, Bobby comes up and says, hey, we're going to go to lunch. You want to go to lunch? And Kathy Jo says, I belong right here. I belong right here. And I said, yeah, Bobby, we're staying right here. But get me a hamburger, fries, and a Coke anyway. So I did. And that kind of describes, we are all working together. We're all working together. We were a team. And if one person or one group needed something, we were there to help out. And that same day, that particular day was the most awesome day. We must have been there 12 hours, and our feet were tired. But the one, and it rained. One of the last people that I shared with, it was starting to rain, and this guy, he would say, I would say, do you want to accept Christ, change your life? And he said, yeah. And it would thunder. And I said, whoa, I think the Lord's agreeing. I think so, yeah. And so that happened like 2 or 3 times. It was incredible. And the wind was really blowing. I said, okay, let's take hands. I felt like Moses, you know. And it was really great. I thought, we're not going to get this one in, but we did. And it was really just an incredible, incredible time. And for me, it's like I had to be there, and I was. And it was just like, I don't think anyone's going to believe this one. But this guy was... A lot of Russian people don't show much expression, and he was like kind of jumping up and down, said, whoa, you know, and it was really neat. And he had come back about 3 days later and said, you know, it's like the Lord baptized me, and I didn't even get wet, really, you know. And so he was still buzzed. And one, there was one really neat thing just to share that blessed me. There was a gal that I shared the Lord with last year, and she had just no expression at all. I wondered, well, I don't know. Couldn't tell by her face. And she was there with a big smile on her face a year later, and it was such an awesome blessing. And I would just encourage you, if you would just pray about going on the next mission trip and getting involved in sharing Jesus. And I would just say this, if you want to be truly happy, if you want to be truly blessed, start sharing Jesus Christ. It would change your life. Thanks.
It's difficult to begin where or what God did, because he did practically everything that I could possibly imagine him doing through human bodies, such as an example, bringing an American person to St. Petersburg and just participating in the power and love of God to bring somebody into salvation from Budapest, Hungary, who did not speak neither English nor Russian. And he was there taking a course on the history of art, and yet God brought him there from Hungary and an American to St. Petersburg just so that he could have everlasting life. It's amazing. And I guess once you come to the Lord and you're born again, you aren't American. You're not even from this earth. You're not no nationality except from above. And you all have a tremendous loving family throughout the entire world that will give their lives up for you, and you just sharing God's love. It's amazing that it goes beyond walls, it goes beyond church, it goes beyond dogma, and yet St. Petersburg is renowned for its deepest metro system, and you see thousands upon thousands of people with no expression because of everything they've suffered through, and yet they're open. They just don't want to be lied to. They want to receive truth, and that's exactly what we have. No one else has truth. Jesus is what sets people free, and if you only step out in a little boldness, the mustard seed that God gives each one of us, he'll blow your minds with authority, with excitement, with everything that God is within you. We're not in a religion. This is everlasting life, that we're participating in a gigantic plan that God has each one of us be involved in if we only allow him to be a true living God in our lives. And just to share another example of what God did, there was Steve, Chris, myself, the pastor of the church there, Joel, and Mike, that were carrying, supposedly in Russian time, 15 minutes distance, everything, sound equipment, instruments, to the park where God allowed us to go and do an outreach in. And we were supposed to, medically, according to Steve, supposed to be vomiting, headaches, and we were being gassed, and there was exhaust from the truck that was just being sucked into the truck. And this 15-minute truck ride lasted an hour and a half, and thank you all for your prayers. Because none of us got sick. Nothing happened to us. It was a well-renowned park in Russia that was homosexual and gay. And God had plans for them to have seed sown. And what can I say except for may each one of you have the desire to truly be involved in God's plan, and may God be truly real in your lives. Thanks.
I saw the truck, so I didn't go in it. But it's, I have to tell you, it was so awesome. People keep asking me when I got back, and like, how was the trip? How was it compared to the other trips you've been on? And it was different. I was expecting it to be, you know, an inreach completely. You know, so I was praying, God, if you would just, you know, open the doors for just one or two people to receive you, you know, this summer, it'd be so rad to see that. And God, exceedingly abundantly blesses our prayers and your prayers, and God opened the doors for us to share with just multitudes of people. I've never seen such huge crowds gather just to hear the gospel preach, and it was just an awesome time. think. Also, I want to encourage you. I was reading the last couple of days in the book of Colossians, and Paul, he hadn't really seen the church there yet face to face, but he's praying in that book for them, and he's encouraging them to follow after the Lord with all their hearts. And so I've never met the Russians. I've never been to Russia, but God, you can pray for them even now. You can just have them on your hearts and read Colossians chapter 1 and just be encouraged to pray for them, and you know, let them be in your heart, and God might send you there, and just keep seeking the Lord. It'd be so cool if you can go there. I have to tell you, it's so much fun. And you might think, well, you know, you're supposed to be sharing the gospel, you know, that can't be fun, but I've never had such a fun time just seeing people being changed right before your eyes, watching as the Holy Spirit convicts them of sin and convinces them of the truth of the gospel, and it's just, it'll blow you away. And so seek the Lord, and Jack always says, you know, either you're a goer or you're a sender, and that's true, so pray about it.
Well, I didn't go with them to Russia. I'm the one out. The miracles, so much miracles. One, I've been praying to go to Ireland for 6 years, and I had been out on the East Coast in January and heard that a church on the East Coast was going to Ireland, and I thought, well, there's no way I could ever go. And about 8 weeks prior to leaving, I got a call from the youth pastor saying, I really feel that you're supposed to come with us. So I was the only one from the West Coast going out there. And the miracles of not having any finances, any way to get out there, even to the East Coast, and waiting till the day I left for Ireland to get my passport, to everything of just getting there. And the enemy was just attacking us first off. We had 17 cars rented. One transmission blew, one popped a tire, another one ran into another car. We just, the first day, and then the first 3 days of just all our plans for evangelism being thwarted, because for the first time the Tour de France was no longer in France, it was in Ireland. And so it blocked all the roads to where we were going. So we ended up going to the town where Tour de France was passing through. And not only were we sharing to people that were Irish, we were sharing people from Spain and people from France and people from Italy, sharing to people farther out than what we had planned on doing. And just we spread out in different areas. We had drama, we had basketball, we had evangelism. God opened a door for a church that wanted us to come, and they have a coffee house in downtown Dublin, which is where we were at. And what we did is we had it's basically just a room where you served instant coffee and tea to people going to a methadone clinic. So they're all heroin addicts coming in and not knowing anything, none of us knowing anything about drugs, nothing, anything about how to even begin to minister to these people. And God just gave us a heart for them that we never had before. And you're getting used to it. You're talking to 95% of people having HIV. If not full-blown AIDS, the majority of them are all homosexual. The majority of them all are going to die within the next year or two. In fact, we had people dying throughout the week that we had been ministering to. And the biggest part for me was the heartbreak over knowing that even when we got to share with them Jesus, that we didn't know of any strong churches to send them to. It was like, what do we do with them now that we tell them about Jesus? And my heart broke over them and saying, there's this wide, beautiful country that is so dark and is so without Jesus, you know. And just remembering to pray for them. Pray that people be raised up throughout the world, because there's people that really want to know Jesus outside of what they think they've heard through the churches that have told them what Jesus is about. So it was a blessing to be there. And just remember to pray for those places that don't have churches, that they will have churches to send them to.
What I'm going to share is probably more sobering than everything else you've heard tonight. But this trip demonstrated to me how much God is interested in my life, personally, and in the lives of you know, so many thousands of people. But prior to this trip, for about a year, I was struggling in my walk with the Lord so much. I was like lethargic. My heart was really cold, and I had this cloak, this knowledge I hid myself under, as a cloak. You know, it sort of kept me from really exposing what was inside my heart and my mind. I knew a lot about the Lord, but I wasn't walking in the light, you know, as He is in the light, and being transparent with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And, you know, the Lord, by His grace, caused me to realize that that was my state. And I just simply prayed, you know, help, Lord. Help me, Lord. And I received a phone call, you know. I was living in Orange County at the time, and it was Robin, and she asked me if I'd like to go to Russia. And at that moment, I knew that the Lord, you know, He answered my prayer, just simply help. I didn't know what the Lord was going to do. But that was it. You know, that was what it took to wake me up out of my sleep. You know, it was high time that I woke up, and, you know, I realized just how much God loved me and how much God was interested in my life. And I had lost grasp of that. I had lost my, you know, personal walk with the Lord, and just God's presence being just active daily in my life. You know, things that I had learned, things that were so precious to me, I had walked away from them, and just my affections were set upon other things, you know, that were good, but not necessarily the most important thing. And, you know, through this trip, the Lord just really spoke to me and showed me that His love for me is just so great, and also that, you know, He has such a great interest in the souls of other people, and that He has a great plan and, you know, intentions for my life, and that, you know, it just, He's so worthy of my attention. And I just wanted to read Psalm 8, which caused me to realize my insignificance, however, the fact that God loves me so much and that He chooses to use me. David said, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor." And, I mean, who are we that God would even consider using us? You know, however, He loves us so greatly, you know, and He desires to use us anywhere throughout the whole world. And I'm thankful that God took me to Russia in order that I could share the faith. You know, that's what I had lost, you know, sharing my faith with people. And, you know, that's so important. I would encourage you to just never forget that. You know, there's just one passage that I'll just leave with. My mind's a fog right now. It's in chapter 13, and it's verse 11, and it says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." And I would just encourage you just to, you know, wait on the Lord if that's your state. You know, if you're in that state of lethargy, or, you know, you need that vibrancy in your life, just to realize the fact again that, you know, God loves you. It's time to wake up, and it's time just to share your faith and to sign up for a missions trip, you know, and to get out there. So thank you.
I wasn't very excited at first about this trip because I went last year, and it was a great experience for me, but I knew how much work it was and how much it grows you and stretches you, and part of me just wasn't sure I wanted that. So when I signed up and I found out I was going, I was on a trip, and I kind of was like dazed and confused that I was going, and I was like, okay. And then as I got closer and closer, I started stressing out because I just started my own business, and so trial after trial of, you know, financial things, and just that made me feel like I was supposed to stay here. And it was like 10 days before now. I'm freaking out going, you go, and I'll pay for it or whatever, just somebody else go. And then she just said a statement to me of, you know, what do you think God's will was? And it like hit me like a bomb, because God's will, my will, God's will, my will. Okay, we know what part of I'm going to have to learn this trip. But obviously I'm up here, so I did, you know, do God's will, so which is good. But it was good, and then I got there. I know immediately once I landed on Russian ground why I was there. There were some people there that specifically I think it was my job to go talk to and spend time with, and it'll make me cry, so I can't go there. Anyway, there was a statement that Daniel, the translator, said over there that was pretty profound about 3 days before we left, is that we go over there to get changed, and that stuck with me because I think that was my resistance of going because I knew I was going to get changed. And my pride issues and control issues and all this stuff of mine was coming up, and there's such a resistance to change, but you're going because you want to make a difference and you want to do what the Lord wants you to do and you want to share the gospel, and boy, what that does to you and your life. But it also, like, freaks you out because you just don't know what's going to happen. And we went over with one mission in mind, and it got turned into another mission. And when Daniel said that, it really hit me because it was a big change for me. And here I was thinking I was going to go make this powerful difference in other people, and I come back and know that it made an incredible difference in me. And, you know, I'm a new Christian. I've been only with the Lord for about 2 years, so when I was over there, the experience for me, it was just, I pray for FedEx, you know, because I'm kind of behind, I feel like, so it's like, get me ahead. And I had a chance to spend some time at some people's homes, and my parents had passed away, so to be at a family in a home where the two parents are there and they're serving this meal, and the hospitality and the way they share and the way they love, and they couldn't even communicate with me, and they're loving me, they're sending me home with presents, and it taught me about the kind of person I want to be. And I had to go to Russia to learn that because I don't have that. So it was really, really special. So if you sign up for a mission trip, you realize you're going to go through a lot of stretching and pulling, but growing pains aren't so bad. They're kind of fun to talk about afterward. Thanks.
Hi, everybody. You're probably saying, who's that guy? My name is David Jeremiah, and a few months ago, I came here on a Wednesday night when the Fort Lauderdale bunch was here from the worship team. And they're a lot of good friends of mine, and I just came to see them, and it turns out I went home and I said, honey, I think we found our new church, because we just moved into the area not very long ago. So here we are on Wednesday night, and I don't go to church on Wednesday nights. You know what I mean? Now, I consistently get woken up to the fact that I need work. In my Christianity, I need work. Because tonight when Jack said, David, will you say something tonight? My first thought was, dear Jesus, what can I impart to these people? It was, why did I wear shorts? That's the truth. Hi, Bruce. I won't embarrass you tonight, I promise. But my first thought getting off the airplane in Russia was, dear God, what have I done? Why am I here? See, I spend a good portion of my life sitting on the edge of a hotel room bed thinking, you know, there was a Calvary Chapel that got me here. What was the name of it, and what time am I supposed to be there? I do music in many Calvary Chapels all over the U.S., and many Sundays I'm wondering, am I late? But nonetheless, one of the Calvaries is up in Washington. Pastor Bill Ritchie's the guy's name, and he's a very good friend of mine. And he called, he says, you want to go to Russia? Sure, let's go. So I was going to be playing with the band, and I thought, you know, getting off the airplane, what am I doing here? Why am I here? And we got on this boat, me and three or four of the other people, and we're taking a little tour around Moscow. We went to Moscow. We didn't go to St. Petersburg. We just took a little, you know, trip around on this boat, and it was a very, very pretty city, and it was dirty. It was very dirty. You get in the boat, and you look down on your water, and you think, you know, I'd like to test the water, but my toe would probably fall off. You know what I'm saying? But we're sitting on this boat, and half the population is drunk by 10 o'clock in the morning, and this guy walked out on the boat, and he kind of took his liter of beer, and he put it up in the air to me. So I took my liter of water and put it up in the air to him. And he thought that was pretty funny. So he reached over into the bag, and he started chewing on this piece of jerky. And then he reached into the bag, and across the aisle for me, piece of jerky. I took a piece of it, and I gave it back to my friend sitting behind me. He took a piece of it. And I said to the translator, I said, find out what kind of meat this is. Much to my chagrin, she said, "You're eating horse." Turned around to my friend and I said, "Can you believe we're macking on Trigger?" That's a fact. Now I gotta be honest. Wow, I guess Chino's not the town to say that in, is it? You know, the truth is I love to tell 1,000 people about Jesus. Oh, there's the red light. I'll be just a second. Oh, it turns on. Okay, good. I love to tell 1,000, 2,000 people about Jesus, but get me one-on-one with somebody. I'm just really bad at it. I really am bad at it. So I said, "Lord, why am I here? I don't do this for. I don't like smelly places. I don't like carrying my amps 5 stories. I don't like it." But you know what? There was a doctor on our trip. He was a chiropractor. And my lower back was just killing me. Well, there were 7 of us in this one room on 7 cots. We won't go there. Nonetheless, I woke up the next morning and my back was just killing me. And the doctor, the chiropractor, came to me and he said, "You know why I'm here?" He said, "I'm here to keep you guys healthy." And it dawned on me that all the rest of these people had been trained in these specific discipleship classes, which I didn't get to go to because I don't live in Washington. But I didn't have that bit of training that I thought was so, I really could have used it. But all of a sudden it dawned on me, why am I here, Lord? What am I going to give to these Russian people? But you know what it was? It was my attitude that was going to be good. And I knew that was going to be good. And I also knew that the attitude of some of the folks on the journey was going to be bad, because our journey wasn't Gucci like Chino Hills. We ate oatmeal every morning, okay? I don't know what you guys probably had, made your breakfasts and stuff. But nonetheless, I had this most wonderful time, and I thought, if I see somebody that's down, I'm going to pick them up on our particular group. And that's what I did, man. If I saw somebody kind of tired or bummed out or something, I go tell them a funny story or something, or share something with them from the Lord that might cheer them up a little bit, And then in turn, I'm up there playing, and I see these people out scurrying around the crowd telling people about Jesus. You see, we all have a part to play. As a Christian, we all have a part to play. We all have a ministry. Oh, well, I don't play guitar and sing, so I can't go. The truth is, somebody who was a really good cheesecake chef could minister to me right now. I tell you the truth. But that's a fact. So what I'm saying is, don't let the words, "Oh, I wouldn't have anything to do," don't let that thought come into your head, and don't let those words come out of your mouth. Because there is something that you can do to build up the missionary team, whether it's here or there. And if you get a chance to go, then go, would you?
David's a hard act to follow. How do you get serious after that? And I was another one of the people that wondered, why are you going? You see, that is my heritage. That's where my relatives are from. My grandparents on both sides are from Russia. And they fled Russia about 80 years ago. And I was one of the people that was taught, hey, you don't want to go back there. That's why they left. Those people are no good. Stay out of there. And I had to deal with that my whole life. And the Lord spoke to me before going to this trip, says, I love those people. So it really kind of tore at my heart, and I signed up to go, not knowing what to expect, but knowing that the Lord, when he says go, you go. So here we are in Russia. And how do you sum up in 2 minutes, 2 weeks? It's very difficult. But the people there, incredible people. My mind right now is kind of a montage of pictures, seeing the people there, seeing the team, seeing how it was all working. But I suppose probably one of the most haunting things I'll think about is when we're riding in the metro, which is their subway system. It's deep down in the ground. It's their major transportation. This is how the people get from one area to another. And looking at the eyes of these people, they don't stare at you. They don't make eye contact. And what you see in the eyes that you do make contact with is a lot of despair. As a matter of fact, it's like hopelessness. These people, have been doing this yesterday. They're going to do the same thing today, the same thing tomorrow. and they see no real hope of change. And yet that's why the Lord brought us there, to share the Lord. It is a look that you'll never forget when you look into their eyes. And you realize that these people have been misled by a system for over 80 years that has told them there is no God. There is nothing but the government. That is your God. So these people have been conditioned to accept that. And then when you witness to them and you see the little light turn on in their hair, in their eyes, and you ask them, many of them won't receive the Lord because there are so many things that they've been conditioned that they just will not receive. However, it's so easy to start to get discouraged over that. And then you read Isaiah 55, where God says his word does not return void. So when we're there, yes, many times we don't see the results of it, but we know that God's word will never return void. To give you an idea how these people survive, I talked to one fellow that was a university professor. His name is Boris. He received the Lord last year. He says, Dan, he says, you know what we live on here? He says, I'm considered well paid. He says, I'm a professor of theoretical mechanics or something like that. It was an occupation or a subject I didn't even know about. He says, I'm well paid in my profession. I get $60 a month. $60 a month. And out of that, he has to feed his family, pay rent, do all the other things. We can't even relate to that. And yet these people do it day in and day out. And yet we see how the deception there has taken root. We read what Ezekiel 38, where the army of the north is going to come against Israel. So I look at it on a prophetical standpoint also. That yeah, it's going to happen. However, the Lord loves these people. And it's up to each one of us to ask in our heart if we're going to go over there and do what the Lord asks you to do. The harvest is indeed plentiful. The labors are indeed few. As a matter of fact, you kind of feel like you've been given a thimble, and they say, go over to that swimming pool and bail it out. That's what we kind of feel like. However, we're going over there in God's strength. Not everyone will be saved, but those that the Lord has called, they will. So what a privilege it was to go there. What a privilege it was to go with the team that we were there, to know that God has led you and that God indeed does the harvest. So I would encourage every one of you to go. And your prayers, one last thing. We sensed every prayer that was going up. There were times there that were so difficult, you can just cut the spiritual warfare with a knife. But your prayers, if you only knew how awesome your prayers were, how it got us through during even the hardest times. Things that should have just fallen apart, they didn't, because God was in control. So God bless you guys. And I'd encourage you with all of my heart to sign up the next missions trip. You'll be blessed beyond your wildest imagination. God bless you.
Psalm 37:4. Says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Many years ago on K-Wave, when it first started, George Bryson had a program on Tuesday nights, and I used to listen to him talk about Romania and the children and the orphanages over there. You probably remember those times. And he took teams over there, and I kept wondering, how could I possibly be one of the members of one of these teams? But it didn't happen. It, you know, came and went. And about the last time I remember that program, he was talking about going into Russia. And life went on. I forgot about the whole thing. And as I was praying today, he reminded me of that program and how now I went to Russia. And the one thing I wanted to do in Romania was go to those orphanages and visit those children and hold them and be with them and play with them. And what happened on this trip was I had the opportunity to go to the orphanage. And so he did give me the desire of my heart. And it wasn't what I thought it would be. It was a very nice orphanage, although I understand there were other ones that were not as nice. But I met children of all different ages, 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds. They seemed happy. They played. They were loving, cuddly. It was a lot of fun to play with them, swing them, and we had a great time. But the little older ones, 8, 9, 10-year-olds, they accepted the Lord so easy. We were able to lead many of them to the Lord. It was Dan and I and Ruth. Ruth isn't here. We just had a ball with these kids. But the Lord says to come to Him as little children. And when you're working with children like that, you find out how easy it is. They didn't say, but what about, you know, the people here or there? They just listen and they accept and they believe. They're willing to repent for their little sins. You just ask them if they've ever been naughty and their head goes down. They'll tell you about some incident. Yes, they've been naughty. And they're willing to repent from this and turn and be different. They want to go to heaven. They want to be with Jesus. And we just had a ball with these children. There were so many. Actually, Ruth and Steve took so many toys over there for the children of the church there. And it turned out that there weren't any children in the church. It finally has dawned on me that we hardly saw any children. I don't know what the reason was, but for these humongous apartment buildings that we saw, there were very few children. And I'm starting to think that abortion might have something to do with it. Did you notice that?
No, most of them were away on vacation at this time of the year.
The children?
Okay.
I hope that's the case, because I didn't see very many. 5 million people, I was told, in this town, and there wasn't that many kids. But anyway, it's much easier than you may ever dream to witness to children, and it's great practice for adults. We took the materials we had planned to use in the church, Sunday school, and we took them out while the others were talking to the adults. We talked to the children, and through the children and through teaching the children about Jesus, we were able to reach the parents. So it was a really neat way of working. But I have no idea how many children gave their lives to the Lord. One day I was just sitting with a package of crackers, and a big dog came over to share the crackers with me. And three children followed, and the three children accepted the Lord. So God works really in neat ways. But I do encourage you to go to wherever the Lord is leading you. The Russian ministry, I left so many people over there that I would love to put in my pocket and brought home with me. But I remember a red light. Hi. giving two oranges to a lady, and she bawled her eyes out over two oranges. There was just so many things that I'll never forget, and I'll never forget to pray for them. Thank you for praying for us. There were times that I knew I couldn't make it another step further. I feel like I just got out of boot camp. And yet, the Lord gave me the energy that I needed to get wherever we needed to go. Thank you.
Oh, great. I come up to there's a whole exodus out that door. Hi, everybody. My name is Kathy Jo, and I kept expecting someone to award me a trophy or something for the most tears cried. I have never cried so much in my life. The sweet, vulnerable hearts of the Russian people just broke me open over and over again. And there was one gentleman in particular, Joe Nafziger, already mentioned him. His name is Andre. And I felt really prompted to go speak to this gentleman. He was sitting under a tree in Catherine Gardens on the grass, and we began to talk to him. And I asked him if he knew with any certainty whether he would go to heaven or not. And he said, no Russians can go to heaven. And I said, why? And he said, because Russia, we killed God. It's not like America, where everybody believes and loves God. And I told him that there's no nation on earth that has the corner on separation from the Lord. And later we were talking about sin, and I asked him if he was a sinner. And he said, he looked away very shamefacedly, and he said, how can you not sin when you only have the equivalent of $80 a month? And he just broke my heart again and again. And Jen and I did end up praying with him, and he came to the Lord. You could just tell that he wanted to accept Jesus, and he wanted Jesus' love with every fiber of his being, with the very essence of his soul. And he said the prayer gratefully. The only thing that I felt was a little lacking was, I don't think either of us ever convinced him that he would be forgiven by God. He did not think that he could be forgiven for the very reason that Jed told you about. He told us that he had killed a mother and her small child, and that he saw their face every day and every time he closed their eyes. So I'd like to ask the church, the whole body, to remember Andre and all the other Russians in your prayers, because even though they've accepted the Lord, they still have quite an uphill battle. And I'd like to leave with one other small thought. We were on the bus one day, you know, going somewhere. I can't even remember where at this point. And Dima, one of the Russians from the church in St. Petersburg, he's such a sweet man, and he has such a heart for Jesus. He was kind of giving us a tour and telling us what was what. And he was telling us about when the Communist Party came into rule, about how they said that there was no God and that the masses did not need God because God was a drug. And then Dima, in his typical little way, just made a comment, and he said, what they forgot to think about was that when you're dying, drugs will save your life. I would encourage you all to go to Russia or to any other mission trip. Thank you.
When I asked my family if they wanted to go to Moscow, which is where I went, they said, sure. And they'll probably never answer that quick again. Their greatest fear was Jack would make them talk. I said, I'll take care of that. Isaiah 42 says, a smoking flax he will not quench. 3 days after the team left here for St. Petersburg, we joined a team of police officers that left for Moscow. A week before the trip, our destination was changed from Moscow to Nizhny Novgorod. Better, huh?
Got it.
Okay. We were there responding to an invitation we received from the Russian police to come over and train with them and exchange information. They knew up front that we were bringing the gospel. So after we traveled to Moscow, we jumped on the train after we saw David Jeremiah already had Moscow covered for us. We headed east. We worked directly with Calvary Chapel in Nizhny. There were 8 officers in the group representing 7 departments in 3 states. We were treated as VIPs, just as Pastor Jack had promised. That included caviar. That included fish head soup. That included beef tongue, raw salmon, and an occasional piece of jerky. I'll be honest, I only know of one person that got saved during the week. But I want to tell you this. God does not snuff out a smoldering wick. The second day of our tour, I mean, we saw a lot of places. The second day of the tour, we were touring what was described to us as the SWAT training headquarters. By our standards, these guys weren't SWAT. These guys were Green Berets, which means they had a doctor as part of the staff. After we received the tour, we were treated to lunch, and then we had a rare opportunity to actually talk with the officers one-on-one. This doctor joined us. He heard the gospel presentation. That was Tuesday afternoon. Wednesday night, he was at church. And he told us this afterwards. He said, because of what you've done, because of what you've said, because of the stand you've taken where you've taken it. I can now leave my Bible on my desk. I can now walk down the hallways of this headquarters and proclaim, Amen. I believe in God. So I'm just going to finish up with three things. I don't care if you sign up or not. But I encourage you to do three things. One is pray hard. Two is stand fast. And three is believe this verse. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient, made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Go forth.
I thought I was safe. I thought they still had to talk. This is my third trip to Russia. In 1995, I went to Russia, and God blessed our family with a son. In 1996, we were blessed to bring our Russian son home with us. In 1998, I had the hard task with my husband to take our son home, but God just blessed it so abundantly, and I know this trip is totally from the Lord. We had our small little team. We came with the team, and we left on actually Thursday night, and we traveled 14 hours northwest or northeast of Russia, or I should say of St. Petersburg. And we prayed every day as a family, our little three of us, and said, Lord, if you want to use us, we're just open. And there was one day what we saw God move just so many different ways, and people were brought into our path that we never even expected. One day we went to Vologda, 2 hours from Khodovsk, where Dima was born, to go to the university to get him signed up. And we were having a terrible day. We had made a list of all these things that had to be done, and the list was not getting crossed off. And so we put at the bottom God's schedule, and we sat down in Vologda in the middle of the city, and we prayed. And we got up, and we started to walk, and it was 10 minutes later, a man stopped us on the street. And he spoke a little English, and I asked him, why did you stop us? And he heard us speaking English. And he went on to share a little bit about what he does with the education program there in Vologda. And he was talking, yet broken English, and Dima was translating some. He was doing some in English. And I told him I didn't think it was an accident that he stopped us at all. I think it was God, and that we had some very good news that we would love to share with him, and he was open to listen. He was listening, and about halfway through the gospel, he stopped, and he just looked at us, and he said, I have a friend who's hurting, who's been in a car accident, who needs to hear this. Her life is just very desperate at this point. He asked if we would go to her flat, and we looked at each other, and we just said, God's schedule. So we went to the flat, and we ended up being there for an hour and a half, sharing the gospel. This lady was destitute, desperate, and not sure where God was. And she knew the Lord, she had accepted the Lord, but she just didn't know where God was in her life. And she truly said, God has sent you. And so Alexander, this man who had brought us there, we shared the gospel with him, we prayed with Tanya, he accepted the Lord, and we had an awesome time. And again, it was God's schedule. And the thing is, I had been praying for a long time for my son's Russian mom. And if God ever opened the door for that to happen, that was what was on the desire of my heart. But I wanted it to come from the Lord, not from me. And so one evening, I had said, Dima, let's talk to your mom about his medical condition that he has. And we were able to, you know, get some medication and stuff and take it home. And so we sat down in the kitchen, and I started to share about this condition and what she needed to watch for and do. And so anyhow, it just one thing led into another, and I shared with her how God just totally opened the door for us to be on this trip. It wasn't anything. It wasn't our money. It was God's money. It was the love of some friends in this fellowship here who supplied our way to go to this on this trip. And she was amazed that someone could just reach out and give us this money to come. And it, the one thing led into the other. I was able to share the Lord, and she accepted it so freely and so open. And we sat there and we cried together. And so God just answered so many prayers. The hardest thing was leaving our son. He's 14 hours away from a church, and he's there by himself, but his mom knows the Lord, and Jack brought his dad to the Lord a couple years ago. And so anyhow, there's, I saw that red light. But when I was, we were coming home on the airplane, my heart was broken, and I opened the book of Jeremiah and just started reading. And God said to Jeremiah, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. He went on to say, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. And I realized right then and there that my son, our son, has the Lord with him. He's not alone. And that God is going to use him in a mighty way. And so I just want to thank those out there that prayed, because, oh my gosh, just like everyone has shared, you can feel the prayers. And without your prayers, not anything would have happened. And it was not by anything that we did. It was totally by the Lord and the Holy Spirit. So thank you.
You know, she's right. We were there, and God did give us a son. And it was so neat that we got there and got off that airplane, and he said, gosh, he said, Mom, he says, what am I doing here? Why am I back here? I should be in Upland, California. And we were all scared. And then it was the following morning. We're getting ready to go someplace, and we sat down. We're going to grab a bite to eat. And Robin and I were sitting at this table, and this little old lady comes up. The little babushka lady comes up and sits down. And we can't converse with her. We don't know Russian. She knows no English. And Dima comes back with lunch or whatever it was we're having and sits down. And he begins to share with her. And she accepted the Lord right then and there. And right then and there, he knew that he was called to go home. We had him for 2 years. We still have him. And it's all because of a lot of prayers of all you people here that he was able to come. Just all of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, he was able to go to the Bible college and get all this stuff. And now that he has gone home, he will be used mightily. And we've seen that. We saw it through the entire 2 weeks. In Hadas, in Vologda,